If you've got your Bible this morning, I want to invite you to open up to Ephesians chapter 4. And as you're opening up, I just want to share a quick story with you. I've shared it before at the Champions Campus. Maybe you'll remember it if you were there. But it leads in perfectly to the text that we're going to look at this morning. Right, not too long after Chelsea and I got married, we lived in this apartment. And it was a smaller apartment. There wasn't much room, especially in our kitchen. And there were very, very few fights or arguments. You can ask her, she'll vouch for that. Early on in our marriage, there were probably millions of things that I did that probably should have and did drive her nuts. And there was this one thing that maybe I wish that she wouldn't have done as much when we were first married. And that's this. Every time I would walk into the kitchen, I would leave with a bruise because she would leave every drawer and every cabinet open. I'd be banging into stuff all the time. And so that was an ongoing discussion that we had early on in our marriage. And I'll never forget one night we're sitting on the couch. She's making chocolate chip cookies. They're really good. And the timer goes off on the oven. And so she runs into the kitchen to get them out. And she's got this little cooling rack for the cookies. And it's like on the top shelf above the microwave. And so she gets on this step stool and she grabs the cooling rack. And then, you know, priorities, right? She wants to get the cookies out quick. So she jumps down backwards off of the little step stool to get quicker to the oven. But what happened was she had left the drawer behind her open. And as she came off that ladder, she completely wiped that drawer out, right? Demolished it. It crashes to the floor. It splinters. The silverware and everything is down there on the floor. And so I got nervous. I was scared. I went in there thinking that she was hurt. And so when I get in there, I took the cookies out so they didn't burn. And then I leaned down. Priorities, right? So I leaned down to check on Chelsea. And she was conscious. That's good. She wasn't bleeding. That's good. And I'm thinking, okay, I think she's all right. And then something just sort of switched in my head. I thought, maybe now is a good time just to make this a teachable moment. Some of y'all are married, and you know it wasn't a good time. And so I said, hey, I mean, this is sort of what I'm talking about, babe. Maybe we shouldn't leave the drawers open like this, right? And she got this look in her eye that I haven't seen since, and I knew that I needed to be gone. And so I start running away from her, and she reaches up onto the stove and burns all five of her fingers and grabs a cookie and slings it at my back as I'm running away. And I wasn't wearing a shirt, and it hit me right in the middle of the back, right? And this warm, gooey chocolate chip cookie was burning me because it was stuck to my back, and I couldn't get it off, right? There was I think on both sides that night, there was maybe just a little bit of anger that was there. But here's the thing, right? We cooled down eventually, and later that night, we sat down together, and we ate those chocolate chip cookies, right? Here's the thing, and I want you to hold on to this phrase because this is where we're going the entire morning this morning. Replace anger with kindness. Okay, we have to replace anger in our lives with kindness. So we did it that night, we've done it since then, and that's what needs to happen in all of our lives, right? People today, man, it just seems like that they have a very, very short fuse, right? People get worked up, and they get worked up really, really quickly. People get too easily offended by things, angered by things that honestly really don't even involve them, right? The default choice for so many in our culture today, man, it's just straight to anger about all kinds of things. I read an article this week. It was about a man in Florida, of course, right? This guy in Florida got angry at the Wendy's drive-thru people. So what'd he do? This guy went and found an alligator and went back to that Wendy's and threw it through the drive-thru window, right? I mean, there's anger problems, right, all around us right now. There's this Gallup poll that came out not too long ago that said that Americans, out of every country in the world, Americans experience the most anger. Americans struggle with it the most. Americans, more than people in any other country, are willing to say, you know what, anger's a problem for me. Anger has affected me in a negative way. 45% of Americans will say, hey, that's me. I'm angry, and I'm carrying it around, and it's a problem, right? We have the gold medal, right? The second, third, and fourth countries in the world, right, that struggle with anger are Iraq, Iran, and the Palestinian territories. It's a big deal. Right, that we are winning a game that we do not want to win. We know this. Listen, anger, and it can and it will steal our joy. Anger can and will kill peace in our minds. It will kill peace in our hearts. Anger will destroy us emotionally. Man, it just eats us from the inside out when we let it fester. Deep down in there, anger will hurt your marriage. Anger will sabotage your career. Anger will destroy friendships. Listen, I don't feel like I need to go on. What we understand and know that anger, man, it's just something that we do not want to mess with. And my prayer this morning is this, is that all of us, as we look in Ephesians 4, is that we would examine our hearts, that we would think about what anger looks like in our lives, and that we would just have soft hearts today and allow God's word to work its way in and to replace any anger that we feel with kindness. So let's look together. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, God's word says this: be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity for the devil. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Verse 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Right, clearly, anger's got to be dealt with. And for us, as we understand the immediate context of these verses, we get a great picture of what that looks like. This is a letter written from Paul, the pastor and the missionary, to a church, right? To a church that he was a big part of. It's to the believers in Ephesus. And a lot of people, when they study this letter, they'll split it into two halves. You've got chapters 1, 2, and 3, and it's full of these great big theological truths about God, the grace of God, the goodness of God, the love of God, the work of God in our lives. And if you're the kind of person that underlines in your Bible, man, those first three chapters of Ephesians are probably all marked up because of these huge truths that are in there with every single sentence. In the second half of Ephesians, which is where we find ourselves today, man, it's full of taking those huge truths of God, of the goodness of God, and it shows us now how to walk it out in our everyday lives, right? The verses that we just read, it talks about anger, and that's clearly a part of everyday life for people, right? Also, in the second half of this book, you find things on kids, on marriage, on families, on work, and all of these other things, right? So this is the practical walking out of what God has already worked in. And if you back up just a couple of verses, look at verse 22, right? This is our immediate context this morning. It's framed in a very specific, very tangible way for us to get this. Verse 22 says this: put off your old self that belongs to your former way of life, and it's corrupt. Be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And then verse 24 says, put on the new self, which is created in the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Verse 22 and verse 24, it says, put off the old self and put on the new self. And that verb there was very specific back then. And it would have made those original readers of this letter think of clothing, right? That's the analogy here. Take off the old clothes. These are the things that you used to wear in this way of life, but that's gone. Right, that's gone, it's corrupted, it's over, it's done, and now put on these new clothes, right? Live in this new way, right? It's as simple to them as taking one set of clothes off and putting another set of clothes on, right? Because you have a new situation. You have a new life now. You don't need to wear the old stuff anymore. You are completely different. I read a story from one of the pastors that writes a lot of commentaries that I read. Him and his wife, they've adopted all of their kids, and they adopted them from the Ukraine. And it was a long and involved process. They would go over there, they'd stay there for weeks, and they'd be a part of these kids' lives. They'd get to know them, they'd get acclimated, they'd get to know everything they needed to know from the orphanage there. And then the last thing that they would do before they took their girls home to live with them was this: that they would have to be sent out. They'd buy a whole new set of clothes for each one of these girls, and before the girls left the orphanage for the last time, they would go into the restroom, and they would take off all of their old clothes, right? And they would leave them behind, and they put on all of their new clothes. So for them now, mentally and emotionally, symbolically, as they stepped out of that orphanage, they were leaving everything behind because they were part of a new family. Right, they were a part of something completely new in their lives, and that is exactly what happens with us. right? Where we see that as children of God, we are called to leave the old stuff, the old way of life behind. That's the frame that he's building here in the second half of Ephesians. And it's with that frame in mind, leave the old, take hold of the new, that we get to one of the things that we're supposed to leave behind. And that's anger, right? Look at verse 26, right? We see that we're supposed to leave behind ungodly anger. Verse 26 again says, be angry, don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Leave no opportunity there for the devil. The first thing that I notice when I read this, it's that I'm sort of shocked a little bit. The phrase is be angry, right? That's what I notice first. It says be angry. So we see here that in some cases it is okay to be angry as long as it's about the right things and is expressed the right way, right? Anger is an emotion, right? It's an emotion that God built into us, that God wired into us, right? That there's a healthy way to express it. And I would even say that as we read the Word of God, I think there's situations where we are expected to be angry about certain things. Think about it for a minute, right? Are there any times where anger is affirmed in the Bible? Are there any examples of anger that we know are okay? And I think the answer is yes, there's lots of them, but think specifically about Jesus, right? Twice in the Gospels, we see Jesus go into the temple, right? And we see that Jesus is angry about what's going on there. And Jesus makes a whip and he drives out the money changers and he turns over the tables, right? That sounds like anger, doesn't it? But we know Jesus never sinned. So was this okay? And if so, why? Well, the answer is because it's righteous anger, right? Jesus wasn't angry because something didn't go his way. Right, Jesus wasn't angry because he got cut off in traffic, because his team lost the game. He wasn't angry because a waiter messed up an order. He was angry specifically towards sin. Right, people in the temple were profaning the name of God. People in the temple were cheating, hurting, and taking advantage of the poor among them. People in the temple were creating a barrier for people that wanted to go and worship God the way that God had commanded them to come and worship him, right? And it led to anger, right? Righteous anger, righteous indignation, a holy anger towards sin. And let me just say that should be a pattern in our lives, right? If we think about it, if you and I were indifferent to sin, if sin didn't bother us, if sin didn't get us worked up, what's going to happen? Sin's going to spread, right? Sin's going to creep into our homes. It's going to creep into our families. It's going to creep into our lives, and nothing is going to be done about it, right? Righteous anger, right? This holy burning in our hearts towards sin, it should lead us to this place where we take a stand, where we shut it down, right? When we see injustice, when we see abuse, when we see sin in our own hearts or in the lives of those that we love, it should drive us to a place of action, to respond how God would respond. Back to verse 26, it says, be angry, and then it says, and do not sin. Right? We see that emotion of anger can be used to fight sin and to push sin back in our lives, but we also see here that emotion of anger can lead us to another place. Right, to a dangerous place, a place where we do sin. We see here that anger does not give us the right to throw a fit. It doesn't give us the right to hurt people. It doesn't give us the right to seek revenge, to use language that's dishonoring to God. Anger shouldn't lead us to a fight. It shouldn't lead us to a cookie war or anything like that. Listen, right, I understand, right, that because we're not perfect, sometimes our emotions, we get ramped up. And in these moments of anger, right, we do things that we wish we hadn't done. We sin, and we see here when that happens, we need to deal with it quickly. It says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Listen, take that for what it is. Don't look for a loophole here. I've got a friend that moved to Alaska not too long ago. This doesn't mean that he can be angry for 6 months in the summertime, all right? What this means is deal with it. If there's anger in your heart, don't let it fester. If there's anger in your heart, work it out. Don't stay angry. The time for any one of us, the time to be angry is short, right? We're called to deal with our anger and then move on, Right? There was this older couple that I read about this one time, and they'd been married over 50 years, and they were talking to a bunch of other couples about their lives, about what had gone on, and they talked through a lot of the real-life things that you and I face, and one of them is anger. And in this moment of humility, the wife looked at her husband and said, hey, listen, you've handled this better than I have over the years, right? I've gotten worked up. There's been moments where I have exploded on you, where I've gotten angry with you, and you have always stayed calm. Right, you've been steady, you've been calm. How have you done what we see here in the text? How have you handled it so well? How have you handled it so gracefully and so easily and been able to move on from one thing to the next? And the husband thought about it for a second. The husband just sort of said, hey, listen, here's the deal. I had to find a way to work it out so that I didn't carry my anger over into the next day, so I didn't carry my anger over into other areas of our life. And so I just developed this system where every time we got into a fight or you were really angry with me, I would start cleaning, right? I'd clean areas of the house. She's like, I'd go into the bathroom, I'd clean the toilet. And she said, that's it? That's all it took for you all these years, right, to deal with your anger the right way? And he sighed and he said, yes, because every time I cleaned the toilet, I used your toothbrush, right? Whatever works, right? No, not whatever works, right? Paul says in our anger, don't do that, right? Don't sin. Don't hurt people. Don't get revenge. Don't look for ways to get back at people when they blow up on you. Don't blow up on them in person. Don't blow up on them in social media. Listen, anger, man, it can never be an excuse for losing our cool, right? Do not let anger hang around in your heart. Don't let it fester. Don't let it take root. Don't let it take hold. Of all the ways that we see anger play out in people's lives, I think that's the one that's most often seen. People hold on to things from the past. They hold on to hurt from parents. They hold on to hurt from former friends, from people that they used to be close to. And let me just encourage you this morning as we look in the Word of God, if that's you, if you're holding on to things from the past, let God take care of that. Right, turn that over to him this morning, because when anger hangs around, right, when we give it a home in our heart, when we give it a home in our mind, it does not help us. It always, always, always hurts us. We have to guard our hearts against anger. Look at verse 27. It says, don't give the devil an opportunity. Let me just say that the devil is looking for every opportunity he can find to mess us up. He is looking for every opportunity that he can find to mess with our hearts and our minds, to interrupt our love relationship with God, to disrupt the intimacy that we may have with God. And I'm just telling you that we have seen it over and over and over. I've experienced, I'm sure that you have experienced, he wants to use anger or bitterness in our hearts to mess us up. He'd love to take the anger that we feel towards a family member. He'd love to take the anger that we feel towards a coworker or towards a classmate. He'd love to use the anger that we're feeling towards a situation at school or work to take our focus off of our relationship with God, right? And so he's looking for those opportunities, right? Any opportunity he can to plant the seeds of anger in our heart. Right, and while there's many, I read something this week from June Hunt. She's started Hope for the Heart Ministries, and she's identified four key areas. It's not exhaustive. I'm sure there's more than this, but four key areas, right, where anger tries to work its way into our heart. I'm going to share those this morning because I think that we need to guard our heart from anger slipping in any of these areas. Listen, anger could come to us through one of four ways here, and the first is hurt, right? Sometimes anger works its way into our hearts when we have been hurt. When we become wounded, when someone does something to us, when someone says something to us, or maybe even when someone doesn't do something for us that we had expected them to do. Hurt is oftentimes an open door for anger. Right? The second way that we see that anger might work its way into our heart is through injustice. Right? When we feel like our rights have been violated. When we feel like we have been in an unfair situation, when it gets personal to us, when we've been a victim of what's not right, not fair, or equitable. And listen, let me just say that the people, when they feel wronged, when they feel offended, I know this, you know this, man, that lingers with us. It's personal, and it hurts, and a lot of times the enemy will use that feeling of injustice in our hearts and twist and tweak it until it brings us to a place of anger, right? The third way that anger might sneak into our hearts is through fear, right? When our future or the future of someone we love maybe is threatened in a certain way. And let me just say that I truly believe we have watched this play out in real time over the past couple of years, right? Think about the anger level today in our world versus the anger level a couple of years ago. Listen, people have been scared, right? That there's been fear that has taken hold in hearts, fear about health, fear about jobs or finances or families or schools, fear about what we're gonna have to do from the government or not have to do from the government. And in all of that unknown, in all of that fear, we've seen a lot of people's hearts just harden, right, and turn to this place of anger. And I truly believe, right, that the devil has used fear to breed anger in the hearts and lives of people and families and communities. We have to guard our heart. And then finally, frustration, right? Anger can come into our hearts through frustrations. When things don't work out the way that we plan, when something doesn't go the way that we had really hoped it would go, our frustrations can boil over into anger. Think about the first time we see anger in the Bible. Cain and Abel, right? Cain's frustrated. His offering didn't go the way that he thought it was going to go. What happens? That frustration turns to anger. It leads to murder of his brother. And I would just say in every one of these circumstances, in hurt, injustice, and fear, and frustration, you can track it down, and you can trace it back, and what you'll find is you'll find the enemy, right? The enemy of our soul using anger to hurt our walk with Christ, using anger to hurt our relationships with the one we love. What's happening here is this. Is again, look at the whole chapter, right? Go back to verses 22 and verses 24. Put off the old, put on the new. Satan is trying to get us to live and to act like the old self. He's trying to use anger to turn us back into the person that we were before we were changed, before we were transformed by Jesus. He wants us to put the old clothes on and to live like the people we were before we trusted Christ, before we were part of the family. But as we read the Word of God, we know that's not true and that's not possible. God has saved us and He has called us to something greater. He's called us to leave the anger behind, to take it off, and instead to put on kindness. Look at verse 31. Let bitterness, wrath, anger, let all of that junk be put away from you. And instead, verse 32, it says, be kind to one another, right? Again, there's the phrase, we have to replace our anger with kindness, right? Think about how great that would be if every person on earth replaced any anger they were ever going to feel towards ungodly things, right? If they replaced any ungodly anger with kindness. Think about that. I want to live in that world. I mean, think about if every person in your workplace, right, all of a sudden there was no more anger there. It was just kindness flowing from everybody, right? Students, think about your schools. Man, imagine going to school with no kids, no teachers, no principals ever being angry about anything, but instead being kind in all things, right? Think about driving down to an Astros game and everybody on 45 is kind, right? There's no anger there at all. We laugh because it's hard to imagine, right? But at the end of the day, I want to live in that world. I mean, I want to be a part of that. I want my kids to grow up in that. I want my family to experience kindness, not anger, right? So how does this work itself out? I think it starts with us. It starts with the church, people that have put off the old and put on the new. And so there's three action steps that I want to identify this morning as we begin to wrap up, where if you struggle with anger, if you would say that you have resentment in your heart towards someone else, if you're holding on to something from the past, don't walk out of here still holding on to that, right? Allow the Word of God to soften your heart and be willing to replace that anger with kindness. There's three things we need to do. The first is simply this: acknowledge anger, right? Acknowledge anger that's in your life, right? That is always the first step. So if you search your heart and after an honest look, you see that there's anger that's been festering. You see that you're holding on to something from the past. Or maybe you'd even say, you know what, I'm not holding on to anything, but my natural tendency is to go from perfect calm to extremely angry really, really quickly. Listen, let me just say, whatever anger looks like in your life, be willing to acknowledge it. Be willing to say, man, that's part of the old. I'm moving on from that and walking in the new. I'm walking in kindness with Jesus. I had a conversation recently. And this guy, man, he had been angry for 30 years. And when you talk to him about the conversation, about the thing, that the source of that anger, man, you could see his face change. You could hear his voice change. You could hear his emotions change. And there was this deep-seated anger and maybe even hatred in his heart that was coming out, man. And it's hardened his heart. It's poisoned his relationships. It has not been good for his life. And he'll readily admit that to you. And when you ask him what the anger is about, what it stemmed from, what the event was, and at the end of the day, it wasn't really even that big of a deal, right? But it's hardened his heart, and it's hurt his relationships. And let me just say that this morning, if that stuff is in us, the first step is we've got to acknowledge it. We can't explain it away, right? We don't need to attempt to justify it. We don't need to say, well, that's just how I am. I was built with a short fuse. You don't need to say, that's how my dad was or that's how my mom was. No, we need to identify it, right? We don't say, that's how I am, because when we read God's word, we see that that might be who we used to be, but when we were saved, we took that off, and we put on Jesus. So if there's anger, just acknowledge it this morning, and then move on to this next step, and the second step is this. We've got to confront it, right? If there's anger in our lives, we have to confront anger with the Word of God. If you know there are things that trigger anger in your heart, confront it. Begin to deal with it on a heart level. If you're easily offended, if you're quick to become angry when things don't go your way, then confront that in your heart. If the actions of others drive you to anger, if you're the person that's known to light someone up on social media when you see something you don't like, if you go after the waiter when your order is wrong, listen, let me just say that that's not good. That's not good. Right, we need to confront those things in our hearts. If we're harboring anger over things in a past relationship, let's let it go. Let's be willing to confront it, acknowledge it, and go to the Word of God with it. Psalm 37, verse 8 says this: refrain from anger, forsake wrath, fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. Proverbs 29 says, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. Jesus said this about anger in Matthew chapter 5. If you're offering your gift at the altar, he's saying if you're in church, right, in this act of worship, and you remember that there's anger between you and your brother, Jesus says, leave your gift at the altar and leave. Go get things right with your brother and then come back and offer up your gift. Listen, anger is something that has to be confronted and dealt with. And remember the context, right? We have taken off the old, we've put on the new, and now through the power of God and the grace of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, we can't go back, right? Well, we don't go back to the old self. Well, we don't get angry because we acknowledge it, we confront it, and then ultimately the last thing is this. We started with it and we're going to end with it. We replace anger with kindness, right? We don't just say goodbye to the bad. We don't just tell anger, we're not going to be angry anymore. Instead, we replace it with something good, with something right, with something that God has created us to be. And let me just say that if you're a Christian, you should be known for that. Right? You should be known for your kindness based on the depth of the kindness that God has shown to you. Right? As children of God, we absolutely must reflect the kindness of God. Look back at verse 32 one more time. Be kind to one another. Be tenderhearted. Forgive one another just like God in Christ forgave you. The word for kindness there is Christos. What's it sound like? Pretty close to Christ, isn't it? And that makes sense because we're to be like Christ. And it's possible because of what Christ has done in our lives. I love the declaration at the end of that verse. We replace anger with kindness. How and why? Well, it's because God did it for us when he sent Jesus to save us from our sins, when he sent Jesus to forgive us. And as we read that and think about that, if God can forgive me, right, for all that I've done, then there is nothing for which I shouldn't be able to forgive someone else of, right? When someone does something that sets you off, let me just say that the Word of God this morning says be kind to them and forgive them because God in Christ forgave you. When a close friend or family member, when they hurt you, when they betray you, when they cut you deeply, the Word of God this morning tells us to be kind to them, to forgive them because Jesus forgave you. Listen, for us to remain angry, For us to not forgive is for us to not rightly understand or appreciate the forgiveness that we have received from Jesus. Okay, think about the kindness of Jesus. Think about the love of Jesus. Think about the forgiveness of Jesus daily. And as we dwell on the love and on the forgiveness, as we dwell on the kindness of Jesus, what happens is we draw close to Jesus. We fall more in love with Jesus. Our relationship with Jesus grows, and that's the whole point, right? And as we grow in that relationship with Jesus, what flows from us isn't anger. What flows from us is the kindness of Jesus, and it's going to fill up the people that God has placed around us, right? The kindness of Jesus is going to flow from us in our homes, to our families. It's going to flow from us in our offices, the people that we work with. It's going to flow from us in our schools, on our college campuses. Listen, people are going to experience the kindness of Jesus because of our relationship with Jesus, right? Don't live angry, but instead, as a child of God, replace any anger that's in your heart with kindness. Would you pray with me? I just want to create the space for just a moment, with our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, to just think about our hearts for a second and just take that deep, honest look, right? And just ask God to reveal any anger or any bitterness or any resentment that you've been holding on to. And this morning, man, just do that, right? Man, admit it, confront it, and then replace it, right, with kindness. Don't allow it to be something that you carry around with you. This morning, ask God to release you from it, to forgive you for it, and to help you to move forward with kindness in your heart. All right, and we know that that's possible. It's only possible through a relationship with Christ. So if you'd say this morning, you know what, maybe I've got anger in my heart, or I've got things going on in my life, and as you've listened, maybe you know and understand now that your first step, it's simply to step into a relationship with Jesus. It's to be willing to say, Jesus, you know, I need your forgiveness in my life. I want to become a child of God. This morning, you might be thinking, I want to take the old off and put the new on and become a member of the family of God. If that's you this morning, the Bible says, right, if you believe in the name of Jesus, you have the right to be a child of God. If that's you, don't leave here today without putting Jesus first and making him Lord of your life. Maybe there's something going on in your heart. Maybe you're scared. Maybe you're walking through a tough situation as an individual or as a family. Whatever's going on in your life, know that in just a minute, right, all across the room, we're going to stand up. And we're going to worship together because of the kindness of God in our lives. And we're going to have pastors down here at the front. And if you want to pray with us about something that's going on in your life, if you want to pray with us about something that you've been holding on to, if you want to pray with us about trusting Christ or talk about being baptized or joining our church, if there's something going on, we would love to pray for you. That's what we're here for, and that's what this moment is designed to do. God, we love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. And God, we thank you for the unbelievable kindness that you have shown to us in Jesus. And God, right now, I pray that you would search all of our hearts, that you would root out any anger, God, and that you would lead us to this place where we believe what your word says, and we replace that anger with kindness. God, we do what you've called us to do. I pray that we'd reflect you in everywhere we go, and all that we say, and all that we do. And God, right now, I pray for every single one of us in this room, that our hearts would be sensitive and soft and obedient to what you are calling us to do. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me as we worship? And if you'd like to pray, we'll be here to pray with you.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.